Welcome to Emerge Dynamics.
Emerge Dynamics.
The podcast for those who manage and invest in middle market private companies across the globe. We're telling the stories of the unsung champions who take enormous risks every day to weave the fabric of our societies. Those who collectively, from the multi-trillion-dollar largest market on the planet, we're diving into the dynamics of what makes some of them emerge from their peers and create incredible returns and impact on their communities. This is Emerge Dynamics.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Emerge Dynamics podcast. I am David Cusimano here with Eric Wingerter.
Hey, David. How are we doing?
Eric, we got an exciting one today.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of my way of thinking sometimes. The terminology of artificial intelligence.
Yeah. I guess when you apply it to a human, right? There's a different context.
That's right.
Here's a topic, Eric, that I think is long overdue. Well, maybe not long overdue, because this is still relatively new.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only 2-3 years into this becoming a thing. Artificial intelligence has been out there, the thought of it, some primitive versions of it, been out there years ago. But it's really become powerful and applicable to things in the world in a large scale just in the last few years.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to unpack it a bit, Eric. So we'll kind of, I think, Eric, this is going to be something we're going to have to talk about over a few different episodes. But today, let's maybe just set the stage. Let's talk about what it is and why people should pay attention.
You know, maybe what it isn't too, yeah.
Right. So Eric, earlier you were talking, when you and I were kind of preparing for this, you brought up some criteria, I guess, about how do we know if something is AI?
Yeah, I think we kind of put things into two buckets of maybe automation, which some people may view as kind of the definition of artificial intelligence versus true machine learning or continuous learning, so to speak. And I think for the true definition of artificial intelligence, it's more that latter, that the automation side, which has been with us for quite some time, right? We've used technology, particularly for all routine types of tasks, whenever we start to see consistency in things, or when there's data that is collected, large amounts of data that is collected, and to be able to then sort that data and spit it out in a certain way, that kind of that automation side of things has been with us for quite some time. But artificial intelligence, or allowing the machine learning to continuously reevaluate and kind of and learn theoretically, is very much the next step in just the pure automation.
And I would think, to add on to that, it's not just that the machine learned, but it now will respond differently because of its learning.
Right.
And, you know, in a conversation you and I were in a few weeks ago, we were talking with someone who brought up, you could have a factory, a business that's antiquated, and they go modernize and they bring in all sorts of automation into the factory, right? Things that humans used to do over and over again, now a robot does it over and over again. The robot does it almost perfectly. The robot doesn't get tired. It doesn't need a break. It doesn't take naps. It just keeps going, right? That's not artificial intelligence. That's automation, right?
Right.
I think it's still incredibly valuable. And, you know, I think maybe in another episode, we can unpack a little bit about the job impact, because some people will say, well, you're taking jobs away, right? So we'd probably need to answer that a little bit in another episode. But it's definitely, there's so much value that can be had in automating things. I mean, if that's been going on for decades, it's going to continue to go on. There's so many manual processes out there that need to be, not only need to be, but can be automated and create a lot of value. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a machine, a robot, or a computer, some kind of machine that gathers input and then starts responding differently based on what it's been experiencing in the world. And I think the reason this is applicable to the Emerge Dynamics podcast, where we talk to owners and managers, investors in private companies, is because this is quickly moving beyond, hey, this is a neat sci-fi thing where we see some companies in Silicon Valley doing crazy things. This is quickly becoming a technology that's being deployed in almost every industry. I think the message of this episode, and we'll spend the next few minutes maybe opening it up a little bit more, is that AI has already or soon will be disrupting your industry.
Yep.
In some way, right? So we need to be aware, we need to pay attention. We talked recently, Eric, about blockchain and cryptocurrency, right? And we made a statement that it was going to be changing the way things work. And I think that is still the case. I think AI is coming even faster, though.
Yeah.
So I think we all need to be at least aware of what this is and be ready, because if we're not, you're going to find a robot quickly doing your job. And even jobs that you think are not replaceable by robots, suddenly with AI, they might be. If we can prepare properly, we can actually use this to leverage our human talent to a whole new level. But we have to really think about how we're doing this, how we're responding, how we're preparing.
Well, and I think, you know, that disruption that you speak of, David, I think in this case, you know, if you look back, Industrial Revolution and you know, the things in the past, that technology advancements, a lot of that has been more within the, what I would say is more within the manual labor kind of environment. Like how do we, you know, whether it's a redundant manual task that had to be done and we could convert it over to more robotics, if you will, automation. You know, you think about the auto industry and all these other things. I'd say AI is one that is likely to be much more disruptive within the white collar job sector or the services sector. I could be wrong, but I think that's the nuance here. And I mean, if you look at the economy today, particularly the US economy, it is so much built on the services industry and not so much on the manufacturing and
that's, you know, a good point,
other types of manual industry. So the likely impact of this throughout most businesses that operate today in the United States, I'd say that the potential for a significant impact is there. And how quickly and whatever, I think is yet to be seen. But suffice is to say, this is gonna touch pretty much almost every industry in some form or fashion.
You bring up a good point, Eric, about the types of workers who could be affected. Traditionally, we think of, if we classify them as knowledge workers, right? I guess they could be white collar, but you know, people who work with their minds more than with their hands, right? I'm not saying people who work with their hands aren't using their minds, but there's some people, a lot of people, who almost exclusively don't do anything manual, but they're getting paid to think or solve problems. Up until recently, we thought these people were immune from robots and from automation, but that may not be the case here. Even here, there's going to be disruption.
It would be interesting. But like you said, we got to be aware
of it. Well, I was thinking about one thing we want to unpack soon, probably not in this episode, is a little bit deeper into, well, what is this thing? We're hearing, okay, it's going to disrupt my industry. It can disrupt me, disrupt how I do business. There's so many questions there. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? We think net it has the potential to be a very good thing, but it also has the potential to not be. And we have to remember what we're talking about here is, to the best of my knowledge at least, no one has figured out how to bring a machine to life, right? This is still not life. It is still not even thinking in the way that humans think. But what it does, it is with incredible speed, sometimes better speed than humans, can incorporate inputs from the world around it and adapt in a way that humans would do imperfectly, make mistakes, or take longer to do. This can just happen that much faster. We're still not thinking. I don't think technology has or ever will think like a human, but I do think it can almost emulate that in a way. So the people who develop this, our culture, is going to have to be careful. We've talked a lot about bias that can be programmed into these things. How do these machines learn? Mm-hmm. Is there a bias of the programmer that is affecting the outcome here? Even if there's not bias to the programmer, is there bias in the initial exposure to the world of this machine? I mean, if you turn this machine on and it only gets exposure to certain people of a certain ideology, just like a kid, that's what it's going to learn. But different than a kid who can one day hit a maturity level where they can think for themselves and maybe recognize this stuff doesn't make sense anymore. A machine is going to be purely the product of what it learned. So I think that's something that's not as applicable necessarily to this audience, but I think it's something that is real and society is going to have to figure out. And we hope and pray society figures it out in a good way to make this enhancement to human flourishing and not the other way around.
Well, maybe we kind of, as an example, maybe talk about customer service these days and the whole idea of traditionally you might think of this large group of individuals. They're either in one area of a building or they're maybe dispersed remotely, but you know, you have an issue and you're communicating with someone and there's a human being on the other side of it, whether you can understand them or not, but you're having a relationship and a communication back and forth with an individual, and they're hearing what you're saying, what your issue is, whether that's a complaint, a lot of times it might be, but there's feedback that's going on there. And typically on that customer service side, that human being has been given training on, okay, here are the boundaries, so to speak. You know, under these circumstances, do this. Under these circumstances, do that. And I know some companies have kind of broadened that for their customer service people to say, look, you have the autonomy to do this type of thing. So that, you know, in that interaction, you know, you as a customer service rep have the ability to actually take that input and make a decision with respect to how we're going to deal with this within certain boundaries, so to speak. So in that case, and I think you mentioned, David, when we were prepping for this, it's like these days, particularly when you're doing like chats for customer service, it's like, do you know if you're even talking to a person? You don't. You really don't know these days whether that's a person behind that or whether that's machine learning, because it's taking in the keystrokes and what have you. So, I mean, that's one right there. Now, the question becomes, you know, I think if it's pretty straightforward, the framing for a customer service or a typical customer service interaction, which is, I have this issue, I need some resolution, here are the parameters for resolution, and we're going to resolve it. That's pretty straightforward. I think what probably gets more difficult is like where there's a need for empathy, let's say, or some human connectiveness that can relate more deeply to that person and then bring that into the equation on the decisioning side of things. That's when you start saying, oh my goodness, how is that going to occur? Because I get it with the personal side of things. And I've had empathetic customer service people, and I've had people that's just like, all right, sorry, this is it, boom, you know. And so that's kind of like one of those areas where you can see, one, you can see, well, how can AI be different than what the normal human interactions would be? And then also, as you said, that decisioning is learned based on interactions that machine learning has. Well, then, how does that machine really then say, well, this is the typical way that we're going to respond in this situation versus this situation? So I don't know. It's probably getting a little too sidetracked. But the bias side of it that you bring up is something that is going to continually be a challenge in this realm, you know, regardless of the other aspects of disruption that we're going to have as this gets more and more deployed.
This disruption part is, I think, Eric, it's getting better. You know, we all have had the experience in the past where you call up your favorite airline, right? It's a sounding voice that you can somewhat talk to it, and it will respond and get you the right menu location. And all of a sudden, that's primitive, right? It's getting so good that you don't even know that this is not a human you're speaking with. And I think, and there's more and more studies that we're seeing where people are interacting with these things. And then they're afterward, they're like, was that a human or a robot? And the person just, I have no idea. That line is blurring between what or who or what am I actually interacting with? So, I mean, you're right. Today, customer service, especially if it's on by chat, mm-hmm. the odds are increasing every day that's not a human that you're interacting with. And this thing is going to give really good responses. And it's going to keep developing to where it's going to, I don't believe a machine ever can have empathy, but it's going to learn how to emulate it in a way that's going to confuse us, confuse humans. But I think what we can focus on for now is though that like this is going to disrupt things in surprising industries. And here's an example that just really hit me just a week ago. I was talking with someone who owns a substantial size company, and he was saying that his company is now, through their ERP system, now working to include AI capability within their own data. So this is a closed system. It's not going out into the world and learning. It's just within their system. But they soon, this is being implemented now, but they soon will have the ability to just query their ERP for anything that they want. And these are things, like these are complex things that up until now in history, you've needed a business analyst or financial analyst to go get this stuff for you, right? When you say, hey, what's our margin on product X? And you know, what's the trend been? And I see there's a blip last June where there was a spike in the margin. And can you remind me why, right? These are things that you would get an analyst to go run for you and then come back to you depending on the size of the task in hours or days with an answer. Well, it looks like it's quickly going to become to where this thing in seconds is going to get the answer. And there's a business analyst, financial analyst positions. These are usually decent paying jobs that I think that whole landscape is going to change when all of a sudden you've got some AI bot who can do a substantial amount of what you've been getting paid to do. I mean, an example, like you said, of a knowledge worker who's going to have to just change how they do things. All right, folks. So with that, we're running out of time. Eric and I both have to get on to other things. So we're going to go ahead and wrap here. But there's so much more to say about AI. Eric, very excited to dive into this. Very excited to get some more guests. Actually, we've got a couple of people lined up thinking about coming on board.
It's not going away.
Right.
For sure.
So, I think you can expect multiple revisits of this topic on the Emerge Dynamics podcast in the future.